You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, sponsored by flowmax.ie and bar1racing.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favourite podcast outlets. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's our lockdown special. I hope you're all keeping well and safe. John Breyer joins me on the line. John, how are you keeping? Hope you're well.
Yeah, I'm good, Kieran, and a belated happy birthday, I believe.
Yeah, thanks very much. Plenty of cake eaten. Didn't get out too much, obviously, yesterday, but good day I had here overall. So have to say thanks to ourselves for cooking me a nice cake and a nice dinner and made the most of it.
Yeah, so you're making the most of it, whereas I'm slaving away in the pharmacy, trying to keep things going. We can see who gets the easy life on this show, can't we?
Yeah, well, you're getting all the plaudits, Leo Varadkar and everyone, thanking all the frontline staff. You're part of that, John, so take a bow.
Very good, very good. So how are we managing to spend this time, Kieran, apart from eating cake? Are you watching any of these esports that's going on?
No, God, Jesus, John, no. I'm playing a bit of FIFA. I've actually scratched up on my FIFA. I'm doing quite well. I'm up to Division 4 online now. That's not great for the FIFA geeks, but for me, I'm quite happy with that. So I might crack the Football Manager out again soon as well. What are you doing yourself apart from saving the country?
Yeah, well, the only spot I'm getting, I watch a few of the YouTubers that do Football Manager at the moment, so I'm watching a couple of interesting series there. One fella taking Towlow Town from the 10th tier in England to the Premier League, and another fella who's managing in Croatia. Interesting stuff, but look, it's each to their own. I don't think I've the time, unfortunately, to actually play the game nowadays, or to be honest, the laptop that would cope with it.
Yeah, that is a big problem, all right. Look, we're calling it the lockdown special. I hope that's not too dramatic. We want to try and keep the mood nice and upbeat this week. We had our last show a couple of weeks ago, and we kind of touched on how the league might be affected. I don't think we even saw how bad things were going to be a couple of weeks ago, John, when we chatted about stuff. But look, we're going to leave that to the side tonight because we could talk about the league potentially returning in June or the summer. Nobody knows what's going to happen. So we're going to leave that at the door tonight and we're just going to try and have a nice upbeat show, have a bit of crack with our guests. And we're going to hear from the first of them now. Obviously, we will have to touch on some of the more serious stuff throughout the show, and that's very much evident in this interview with Lee Stacey, the Longford Town goalkeeper, because Longford First Division club, like the rest of the First Division clubs, they've had to lay off their staff, unfortunately. Lee is one of those, and he also is self-employed as a taxi driver, so he's out of work on two fronts. So we've spoken to Lee about that, how he's dealing with it, but plenty of other good stuff in this interview as well. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So joining us on the line now, it's Longford Town goalkeeper Lee Stacey. Lee, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
How are you, Kieran? How's things? Thanks for having me.
No problem at all, Lee. What's your situation at the moment, Lee? I know Longford Town, like the rest of the First Division clubs, they've had to temporarily lay off the players and management, unfortunately. Your own work situation, how have you been affected by everything?
Well, I can't work at all. I do taxiing as well to help play football. So at the moment, just self isolating, just staying indoors. Like, we're not going out in groups or anything like that. So not really doing any work, but just doing my own. But I'm getting out at least once a day for a bit of run or some sort of activity.
Mm. So you've really been hit both ends. How are you finding? How are you coping with it?
It's tough. I'm not gonna lie. Financially, it's not great, but with the taxiing, like, I have a huge out going, so it's hard. Like, for the last couple of weeks, it's been quiet before this really got bad. So it's tough, but just keep moving on. Hopefully that COVID-19 emergency payment comes through, so I've applied for that, so see how we go on anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people in the same boat, I'd imagine, but it is very tough when you've been hit both ends. And from a footballing point of view, Longford, I was just trying to think the other day, when was the first time the town have won their first opening two games? I can't think in my own head. I'll have to go back into the record books and take a look, but it must be hugely frustrating. Obviously, in the light of everything else, it's a very small thing, but just from a footballing point of view, you must be bitterly disappointed that you're not getting a chance to go and try and make that three in a row and keep that momentum going.
Ah, yeah, like people will say, there's bigger things going on, and obviously this pandemic, or whatever you may call it, it's really serious, and you have to take it serious. But that doesn't mean football isn't a huge thing, or like everything I did was based on football, so yeah. I'm missing it terrible, to be honest with you. And obviously our game against Bray was called off, so we even went an extra week without a game, so it's really frustrating. So I'm just getting out playing football and whatever as much as I can. Obviously we're only one or maybe two people max, just to keep them ticking over. But I miss the buzz of Friday nights, miss the buzz of watching the league, everything about it. And I have a good feeling though that at the end of this, the League of Ireland will be as strong as it's ever been.
Yeah, what would you base that on?
I just see a lot of clubs or a lot of fans out there know that the clubs will need support, and you know the fact that we can't watch sports on a day to day that we might have taken for granted before, I think a lot of people will realise that it's on the doorstep, and they will try and do their best to invest in Ireland and Irish football. So please God, it's not just my thoughts, and hopefully when we do go back, if that is June 19th, we have serious people out in numbers, and I'd be surprised if it's not a record attendance, to be honest with you.
Yeah, please God, I hope you're right. But as you said, like, obviously this is a very insignificant thing, but I think it's been forgotten a lot as well how big football is socially, and even from a mental health point of view for people. As you said, you'd have your preparation, training all week, you're in with the lads training, and then you get the buzz of a match. But even from a supporter's point of view, like, I haven't seen the people that I would see every week for the last number of weeks, and it's difficult from that point of view for people. So it's tough for everyone, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Ciarán. Like, and that's what you said, the social aspect. But like, even as players, you'd be interacting online or whatever. Even the fans, you see the same faces every week, and you look forward to that. You know, it makes it all worthwhile when you have the same people back in you week on week, and even the new faces. It's great, to be honest with you. So I think everyone is missing it. It's not just players, fans, coaches. It's the whole shebang. Everyone is missing it. Greatly, I think.
Yeah, even the bit of stick you'd get, you'd probably miss it at this stage. You'd probably love to have a couple of people behind the goals now calling you all sorts of names, wouldn't you?
That's all part and parcel, okay? And we all, like, I'd be giving it back, you know. We all love a bit of banter, like.
Life
wouldn't be the same if you can't have a bit of a laugh, you know.
And look, from your own point of view, I suppose this is really the first season and last season as well, when you were at Longford, that you've really had that number one jersey as your own. You were with Shelburne, you were under a great goalkeeper there, Bray, you were behind Peter Cherry, you were at Shamrock Rovers as well as a youngster. So really, Longford has been the first chance for you to show week in, week out what you can do.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Ciarán. Like, I've had a couple of games here and there over the years, but Longford is really where I've put consecutive games together, you know. And obviously I played every minute of every game last year, and I'd be looking to do similar this year, you know. Yeah, so Longford is playing a huge part in my career and development, you know, and I'm hoping to only go up from here, you know, personally as a goalkeeper, and obviously with Longford, you know.
And look, you had a difficult situation last season at Longford where Neil Fenn was the manager, and out of nowhere he was gone overnight and Dara came in. How did that affect the team at the time? Obviously you were closing in on a place in the playoffs as well. Was that quite difficult to deal with, or was the fact that Dara came in and, I suppose, not an unfamiliar face took the role, that you knew Dara, you knew how he worked and what he wanted from the players and how he was going to play, did that make things slightly easier?
To be honest with you, Ciarán, like, with Neil gone, like, I was sad to see him go, because he brought me in and gave me the chance. I know a lot of people aren't happy, but like, I have a certain respect for him. But there was, like, the reason we didn't get promoted or win the league has not got to do with Neil leaving. I think Dara stepped in and has been brilliant, you know, from day one. He even just rang me last night for a chat for 20 minutes, just a general chit chat. We weren't even talking about football. Like, and I think he's a great coach, and he sees things like a little bit differently than Neil. They do have very similar values, all right, but it was a very, very seamless transfer, if you like. And I just think we lacked consistency at the wrong times last year, and that was down to ourselves. And you can't really blame, like, the management for that. Maybe one or two things we all got wrong at certain times, but no, Dara coming in and Neil leaving, it was nothing got to do with didn't affect us overall, I don't think.
Did you feel there was a lack of grit maybe in the teams at times last year? For example, you couldn't get a win against Cabinteely. They were the real bogey side, whereas this year you've started really, really solidly. And that game in Drogheda, a perfect example, where Drogheda had 20 shots on your goal. You made 3 or 4 absolutely unbelievable saves, but Longford ground out that game and got a 1-0 win, 1-0 win on the night. And we had Aon a couple of weeks ago, and he even commented that that's probably a game maybe last year or the year before that you wouldn't have held on and won. So there seems to be that little bit of added steel so far this year.
Yeah, like you look at the last year, Kieran, we beat Drogheda 3 times. Drogheda were arguably the best side we played. They scored loads of goals, and we limited them to 1. Already this year, they haven't scored on us. But I think the win this time around was more of a battling win rather than, like, I think we probably deserved the wins in the last couple of games. And maybe a draw might have been a fair result in one of them, but I think for the first time, like, we didn't have the most possession in the game, and that's unusual, you know. So after the game, I was saying to the lads, these are the ones, like, that are important, because you can play these good football teams all you want, but unless you can battle, you don't really stand a chance. And you could be right in saying that we lack a little bit of grit. Maybe we did, and hopefully, like, Cam Taylor started flying, and last year they were a bit unknown, but we know what they're about now. And I think if it's last season, we could still be playing Cavendale and we probably wouldn't beat them. But I think this season we have a different mindset, you know, and we'd be looking to win games like that. But they won't come easy, you know.
And from your point of view, you've had a bit of change in front of you this season. Conor Kenner, who was such a rock there last year, he's gone. Anto Breslin moved on as well. So you've had a couple of new defenders come in, Joe Gorman and a few others there. So how have you found the transition? How is everyone bedding in that back four or back five as it operates?
Yeah, like, to be honest with you, like, you look at the quality we've lost there. Anto Breslin, obviously the best left back in the division. He's probably one of the best left backs in the country. So definitely miss him. But the two lads that have played there so far, Aaron McNally and Dylan Hart, are both really good players. So I think we're actually doing okay for replacement. And then Connor, his experience alone, like, helped me through a lot. And we'll definitely miss him. So I think other players, including myself, have to step up just in terms of communication, things like that. And hopefully we'll be okay. And to be fair, we've 2 clean sheets out of 2, and Joe Gorman has been brilliant so far. So Mick has been there for a while, so hopefully the two of them can just get each other through games, and I'll be behind them, hopefully, if anything does go wrong, you know.
And look, hopefully we will be back in June and we'll be back up and running again. You're gonna have to go through 2 pre-seasons. I'd say that's something players are dreading.
Well, that's what I said to Darryl last night. I was just saying, like, we are gonna have to do another pre-season, no doubt about it. But I'm just gonna speak to the boys myself, and to be fair, they are good athletes and good professionals, so most of them will be doing their own bit. So if they can just keep to a certain level, they'll fly through pre-season, you know, because I think we are actually a very fit side, and we didn't necessarily do mad runs. It was all good fitness work, you know. And I think once the boys look after themselves, which most of them will, it should be a pretty good pre-season for us again. Looking forward to it, actually.
You sound like you have a couple of doubts about 1 or 2. Any names you want to drop there?
I can't say that.
You can't do that.
Get myself in trouble. No, they're all good lads, so to be fair. So we'll be fine, and at least this time, hopefully, we have a bit of decent weather and it's not freezing cold.
Yeah, because that could be very well another problem if the league does restart up in the summer. If it's kind of towards the end where it's finishing in November time, we could be hit with a few postponements again. But look, that's a long way away yet. Lee, as you said, it might be a while before you get to see those familiar faces again. Have you got a message for the supporters?
Yeah, just mate, look after yourselves and look after your family. This is it's a very serious time, and you know, do your bit for the country and yourselves, and especially mentally, you know, just get out on a walk once a day minimum, like, and you'll be fine, because it's tough. People can fight themselves when they're locked up all day. So just get out, and if anyone ever needs any help, I'm always on the other line of Twitter, whatever it is. So anyone ever needs a chat or just about anything, I'll be there anyway. So just don't be afraid to reach out.
Legend. Lee, thanks for joining us, and stay safe. Hope the family as well, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cool, man, Kieran. Thanks very much. Same to you.
Bye. for all your industrial equipment, compressed air, vacuum, automation, mechanical and engineering needs, check out flowmax.ie, proud sponsors of Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good interview, John, if I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but some really nice stuff from Lee there, and he's actually made Kira cry there with that closing statement. She was very emotional after it all.
I offered the same support and even offered to throw in a bottle of hand sanitizer and got nowhere, mate, so we can see where the priorities are, can't we?
Yeah, these footballers, everyone wants the footballers, don't they?
Yeah, that's exactly it, that's exactly it. But we should move on, Kieran, because at least we have had, four or five matches for each team in the... in the Prem, mate, so we can have a bit of a chat about that, eh?
Yeah, we're going to have a bit of a review of how the season's gone so far in both the Premier and the First Division. We'll have other bits and pieces throughout the night as well as two more interviews for you. We're going to hear from Padge O'Flynn, and we're going to hear from Stephen Henderson as well. So it's going to be a good show tonight. John, let's start by talking about how the Premier Division has planned out so far. It's very clear who's left the stalls the best, isn't it? Shamrock Rovers, what a start to their campaign.
Yeah, and they'll be gutted that the season's drawn to a halt because they got off to the perfect start, didn't they? Such momentum, 5 wins from 5. Graham Burke, 5 goals. Jack Burns picked up from where he left off last season, and the likes of Dylan Watts. I think he's a bit of an unsung hero. You know, pulls the strings in midfield. Ronan Finn as well. They've 3 assists each. So. You know, team in really, really good form and doing really well. And like I said, they'll be really disappointed with the fact that they weren't able to go on and keep that momentum.
Yeah, I think I might have mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but Dylan Watts there, you mentioned, I really have been disappointed overall with Watts at Rovers because he is such a phenomenal player. We've seen what he done with Bowes. He ran that Bowes midfield when he was there. He was one of the standout players in the country. We all thought he'd go back to England off the back of that. But he's come into Rovers. He's been in and out of the team, but you mentioned there he made a great impact off the bench recently. I'd love to see him play a more central role in that team, but it's difficult for him. He's got Burke in there, he's got Byrne, Figueres out on the wing. There's some really, it's probably the best midfield, and Dundalk fans might not be happy with me saying that, but I think that Rovers midfield has really, really developed over the last couple of seasons, and they outplayed, there's no doubt about it, they outplayed Dundalk a couple of weeks ago. I think that midfield is probably the best in the league, so it is hard for Watts to get in there, but at the same time, given what a good player he is and how technical he is, I'd love to see a little bit more from him now.
I worried he was going to be the one that might be a bit forgotten this season, you know, a bit of a forgotten man because of the competition for places they have there. But he's, you know, when he's had his chance, he has made a good impact. And, you know, I think he's sort of just about cementing down a starting place in that team.
Yeah, and up front, we've spoken plenty about Aaron Green, but I think he's had a really good start to the season, hasn't he? He's probably proved a couple of us wrong.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's done decent, hasn't he? He's got a few goals, and he's certainly, his hold-up play and his set-up play has been good. And, he does come in for a bit of a bashing from me from time to time, but... hats off, he's done all right so far.
So let's move on to their main title rivals, Dundalk. Some people might call it a slow start, but if you look back at the last couple of seasons before this, Dundalk have always started quite slowly and they've built as the season's gone on. So overall, if you take away that defeat in Tallaght, it's probably been a decent start to the season for Dundalk, despite the fact they haven't really blown anyone away yet, have they?
Yeah, look, I put them on a similar level to Rovers. They've got 12 points out of 15. There's just a defeat in Tallaght. But then again, you know, you're going away to Rovers. Rovers have to go to Dundalk. So, you know, there's not much between them. And two players, they're top two players as far as I'm concerned. Hooban, 5 goals this season. And Michael Duff is top of the assist charts with 5. But we should thank Extra Time for the stats as well. They do a brilliant job in keeping those up to date. To me, Kieran, it just looks like it's going to be a two-horse race again this season, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's no point in even getting into a debate on it because there's the top two and then there's the rest. But I think it's been interesting so far, the battle for those third and fourth positions, the best of the rest, if you will, because I think we've probably been slightly disappointed with Derry's start. Pats, they've definitely disappointed. Bowes up and down a little bit, but they've probably found their form there just before this force break. How do you rate the chances of the top 3 and 4 places? Who do you see finishing there?
I think it's going to come down matter whichever team can get a bit of consistency. There's so much up and down. You look at Derry, they've been very, very inconsistent. And I think the team that's going to finish third, fourth in those European places is a team that's going to probably get on a decent run at the moment. You know, apart from Dundalk and Rovers, the rest of the team, they're looking a bit also run at the moment, aren't they? Nobody's really got much momentum. Nobody's consistently performing. So it's totally up for grabs. And, you know, any of the teams, apart from maybe Sligo and Cork, as far as I'm concerned, could still challenge for those other European places.
Yeah, let's move down to the bottom. And Sligo and Cork, two of the teams you mentioned, and they're two of the teams that have been badly, badly hit by this coronavirus outbreak because they've had to lay off their players temporarily. Are they the two favourites to battle it out at the bottom, or could someone else still be dragged in?
Well, there'd have been a lot of talk about Harps as well, wouldn't they? But I think, although they've only got the 4 points so far this season, we've been quite impressed with them.
Yeah.
I think they've had some tricky fixtures. But from what I've seen of them, they look very hard working, don't they? And I think that might be enough to keep them afloat. It all depends. All depends with Harps on injuries, doesn't it? Because they've not got the biggest squads, and we know they can. They've a history because obviously they're a part-time team up there. They can blow towards the end of the season, so it'll be important that Harps get a few more points to the board. Early on, that's really important for them. As for Cork and Sligo, yeah, it's going to be a difficult season, isn't it? And it's between them two for the bottom two spots, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and if the league does come back as planned in the summer months, then we're going to have one less round of games in the Premier Division. They're going to play 27, so they'll play each other three times. So that could actually suit Finn Harps, given the point you've made about how they can blow out towards the end of a season.
I think all part-time teams, that can happen. You know, they get a bit of, because obviously they don't have the bigger squads neither, and you tend to have the fitness issues, the injuries. So yeah, that could well benefit the likes of Harps and you know, and even Bowes towards the top. You know, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's desperate stuff. The likes of Cork and Sligo, isn't it? You know, the fact that they've had to lay off players, and you just wonder if they'll, you know, that. Cork have got a lot of new players as well, and that won't help them settle down and gel. It's going to be very, very tough for Neil Fenn this season with this.
And look, there's no doubt about who's been the best team at the start of this season. It's been Shamrock Rovers, so let's hear from a Rovers legend now on the show. We're going to hear from Pat Flynn. Now, it's been a while since he was last on, but he's been in the headlines again this week. He likes to bring it up every now and again, if you haven't noticed. But Padraig Flynn, the former man that tackled Ronaldo famously in Talla, he's on the line with us now. Padraig, how are you keeping?
Ciarán, not bad. Great to have you back. Great to have the podcast back as well.
Oh, thanks. Brilliant. Thanks very much. No, as I was saying there, I was just scrolling through Twitter yesterday morning and you popped up on my timeline there. I think it might have been The Mirror or one of them nationals that had a story up on yourself and that famous Madrid game. I think it's 10 years ago now exactly. So,
yeah, well, Paul O'Hare was looking to do a bit and just to probably do something different than what's going around at the moment, the coronavirus. So he wanted something nostalgic and look back, and he got a few of the players. It was a good interview, like reading a trio, like Stephen Rice's point of view, Pádraig Amhans and Jonathan Roaches, because I knew what my point of view was, but it's good to see the other side. So it was a nice one to read, and it's a nice distraction away from what's going on at the moment.
Did you ever find out what that aftershave was they had on in the tunnel?
Oh yeah, I still didn't find it.
No, might be out of our price range.
Whatever it was, the best smelling team I've ever played against, but listen, it was a great chance for us to play against Real Madrid, and it's only now that I'm finished a few years and realised, I know it was only friendly, but it was really good to have them in Talla, and was really good for the community as well to have them like around the area. So especially when Ronaldo signed as well, the most expensive player coming to Talla was brilliant for the club, and it was nice for us to play against them as well.
Yeah, and Barry Madsen got a nice mention there as well. That was cool, I have to say.
Yeah, Paul never brought him up myself. I mentioned him myself. I love the stuff he does and try to give him as many retweets on Twitter as I can. But it was nice of him. He did one of the pictures of me kind of in a painting. It was really good the way he did it and sent me a sticker. So like last year I handed out a couple of the under-19s at Rovers where I was coaching, and this year I gave it to a couple of the under-13s. Anytime they train good, I give them a couple of stickers of me. It might be a bit big headed, but I'm a superstar.
Mm. And what's your work situation with the corona at the moment? If people don't know, you sell coke for a living.
Yeah, I sell a coke, the liquid kind. Yeah, it's going. Business is good for us. I think a lot of people are staying in, watching movies and stuffing their face with crisps and Coca-Cola. So sales are good, and as long as the shops are open, we'll be working. So it's we're in a good situation, but it's just trying to keep our distance and keep working as well. So it's hard for everybody, but we're trying to stay positive and get the work done, go home, and keep mentally right. Get out on as many walks as you can.
Yeah, I actually went out yesterday with a footballer on the front here just trying to have a bit of a kickabout and a nearly collapse. So I think I might have to get yourself or Rice or someone down here to a bit of a boot camp going after all of this.
Well, Rice would be the man to do. I'm actually carrying a bit of weight myself now. My dog doesn't know itself. It's getting so many walks. So it's good. It's actually nice to see so many people out walking and keeping their distance from each other as well. But it's an interesting time, but there's a kind of a beauty in it there somewhere. So many people getting outside and seeing life outside of having your head stuck in phones and in televisions and going into pubs. So it's there's something nice about it as well.
Yeah, as long as they keep listening to podcasts, that's absolutely fine.
Well, that's it. It's a nice escape for them, especially if it's not based too much around coronavirus and things like that. Talking about me playing against Real Madrid all day if you want.
And what's the situation with the coach? And as you said, you were with the 19s last year.
I was with the 19s last year with Shamrock Rovers and 13s this year. So Keith, he's managing. And it's great to work alongside Keith. Like, he's so much knowledge and experience, and the kids really look up to him. I'm doing a chunk of the coaching there as well, and it's good for me this year. I'm planning a lot of sessions. We were all ready to rock and start the season last week, but obviously it got cancelled. But the lads are sending us in video clips of them training at home and doing as much as they can, and it's good for them to stay on their toes, but it's good for them mentally to keep their brain switched on, getting out and doing as much as they can. We just don't know when we'll be back, but I'm really enjoying the coaching. It keeps me foot in the door of football as well. So I'm in the middle of my B licence as well, but it won't be long before I'm managing Longford.
Ah, very good, very good. And look, I'm obviously recording from home these days, and I've just been handed a note by my producer, aka Kira. She wants to know, any chance of supplying some Coca-Cola to frontline staff, LOL?
I'll do a good price for them, if they're looking for it. I'd probably Tala-based staff as well, not any Dundalk staff.
Oh, where she's working. She'll be heartbroken by that. And let's go back to your playing career. It's amazing how everything came to a full circle in the end, wasn't it? You were with Shamrock Rovers. You went to Longford. You would have played with Rovers B in your time, or played against Rovers B and won the league against them. And then your final game when you retired was against Rovers. So everything really came full circle in the end, didn't it?
Yeah, it was nice. Like, it's no secret. I love Rovers. I follow Rovers, and it was an honour for me to play for them. And then when I went to Longford, Tony Cousins, a brilliant manager, he was giving me a chance, and he kind of reignited my love with football again. And then to finish up, I know Alan Matthews was there at the time, but my last match was against Rovers, and I don't think they were going to bring a crowd, but they found out I was retiring that game. I think my sister told them, so they brought a decent crowd, and it was nice for me to finish a game against Rovers. I know we lost and we scored an OG, but it was nice for me to finish playing against Rovers as well.
I forgot that. A bit fishy, that, wasn't it?
It was. I think they gave it to someone else, Colin Powell or someone like that, just to try keep me out of headlines. But it was my first goal for Rover, so I'll take it.
Yeah, I was going to say one of your only goals for Longford, but I seem to remember you scoring an absolute screamer against Derry to secure a sixth place finish in 2015.
Yeah, I've got prolific. I had 3 and 15, 3 goals in 15 years I had, and I think 2 of them were for Longford and 1 was for Pats against Rovers as well, so a good record against Rovers.
Yeah, what was that like as a feeling, your first goal, League of Ireland goal, and it came against Shamrock Rovers?
It was a bit surreal, to be honest with you. I was
did you celebrate?
Not used to crossing the halfway line, first of all, and then the ball came to me, beautiful control, took on my chest, half volley, and usually they go over to go over the stand, but it went straight in the bottom corner, and I was expecting it to be called for offside or something like that, but the Pats fans went wild, and the Rovers fans, it was like a deadly silence. And I was there, fucking hell, my car's going to be on bricks when I get out of here. So I didn't celebrate, but it was a nice moment for me to score as well. So it was nice to see what that feeling's like.
Yeah, and look, plenty of medals along the way. 2 league titles. There was the first division with Longford. What am I missing in there?
Satanta Cup as well.
Satanta Cup.
Yeah, so it was nice. The first one, the first league with Rovers, because it had been a long time for us since we won the league, and it was out in Bray, and at the end we crawled over the line, but just that feeling at the end, a lot of players will know, like, you're working all season, and it's not for the medal, it's just for that feeling at the end to say you're champions, you know. And I think we won it by a point. It could have been even goal difference, but it's just that at the end, the work you've put in all season with a group of lads, and then at the end to say you've achieved something, you've achieved your goal you set out at the start of the year. So it was really good feeling. And then the next year, Rovers again, we won the league with a stronger team, but it didn't play as much. And then the one at Longford I really loved because we featured a lot in it. I know Longford, it was a long time yous were looking to get up. And to get them up, and now we got them up, we did really well the next season as well. So it was a great feeling. And we got Longford, the support, to be honest with you, wasn't outstanding. But they're loyal supporters. The supporters who go will go every game, and they followed them away as well. So it was really nice for the town as well.
And as you said, Longford, the first year when they went back up into the Premier, they did absolutely phenomenal, and even got a draw up in Oriel Park. I remember, I think they were the only team that season to keep Dundalk scoreless. So that was a testament to how strong that Longford team was. But what do you think went wrong in 2016?
I don't know what it was. Like, we lost a couple of players. Maybe we should have kept. I don't know whether we got complacent that we'd probably stay mid-table again without putting the work in, but it's like when you win a couple of matches, Dundalk and Rovers are now, it's contagious. It's sometimes if you're losing, you still know you'll get a result out of somewhere, and it's the exact same with losing. You could be ahead in the game or ahead against Pats, to remember with Longford, and in your head, somewhere in the back of it, you just feel, is there a goal coming against us? You're on the back foot nearly. You have a negative mindset, and it just crept into our season, and then like, I had a bad injury, don't want to blow me out, but I was one of the bigger players for Longford, and so I was out for a chunk of time. Don Cowan was out for a chunk of time. Davey O'Sullivan probably wasn't scoring as much as he could. Same with Shawsey. So a lot of things went against us, but at the end, it's down to the players and the management at the end of the day. Why we didn't do as well as we should have probably, but there's no, you always deserve to finish where you finish, I think, in the league, whether it's first or last. We end up going down and anyway, so it wasn't a nice feeling, but that's football.
Was Shawsey still there 2016?
Oh no, he wasn't. He was at Rovers, because remember I nearly had a fight with him. He's at Rovers. Sorry, so that was another big player we lost as well, Gary Shaw. So I think he was gone. Stephen Rice was gone. Pat Sullivan was gone that year. Murray.
Yeah, yeah.
From the previous year, so they're I know they're getting a bit older, but they're hard players to replace as well.
There was a feeling that at that time, I remember when Pat Sullivan left and Stephen Rice left, that you'd leave as well, because you were the Rovers players that all came in together. Was that ever on the cards?
No, not for me and anybody. I think Pat Sullivan wasn't sure what he wanted to do, whether he wanted to retire or not. Rice and Tony were going different ways and anyway, and with me, Tony asked me to stay and was delighted to stay, because I know we're the Rovers players who come in together, but we got a good relationship with the rest of the lads, and we had a really good team spirit there as well. I thought on paper we'd enough to stay up, but as I said, sometimes it doesn't work out like that. If you're not putting the work in, the results will go against you, and it's that simple, really.
And that brilliant manager you mentioned, Tony Cousins, I know he's working with Rovers now as well, so do you have much contact still with Tony?
Yeah, I talk to Tony nearly every week. I love him. I loved him as a player. The first song I ever learned was the Tony Cousins song. Then for me, when he asked me to sign for Rovers, I was delighted. And you know, as I said, a couple of people at Longford didn't like him or how he got us up or what he did in the second season. But maybe when time goes by, he's will respect what he did. He was really good. It's really good for me and all the lads who come in. He found a way to get us up. And his knowledge of the game is frightening. Like, some of the stuff he comes out with, and he's good for me. He's up with the youth as well, so I'm only learning the game, and he's given me so much knowledge up there. It's really good. So it's great to see him every. I see him 3 times a week now. He's probably sick of me talking about my whole career, but it's great to have him up there and get some ideas off him as well.
Are you surprised that he hasn't got back into the league as such?
Tony's enjoying doing the youth. I know. He was out of it for a while, so he's probably dying to get back into football, and Rovers come up. He's done really well with them last year. He's a good group of players this year. If it takes off, I would imagine they do quite well. And it's not even the results at this level. He's getting them ready for the next level, where it's Rovers B or the first team as well. And to be honest, there's no better man, because his knowledge, it's not until you're in the dressing room with him, you see his knowledge. He's done quite well at a lot of teams. He's been with Drogheda, I think Galway, Longford as well. So he knows the game, and he knows players. He's signed some gems across the year as well, and he's really good with young players as well. So he's an asset for Rovers, and hopefully they hang on to him as long as they can.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about Rovers B, actually, because as I said, you played in a game which Longford won, I think it was 5-0 on the night to secure the league that night in 2014. And we had all the controversy in the last couple of months about Rovers 2 coming into the league. When you played for that Longford team, was there didn't seem to be that type of reaction against Rovers as there was this time. Why do you think that was?
I'm actually not sure. I was trying to put my finger on it. Having a clue why the reaction was nowhere near the same the last time. Now, I don't know whether it's just a bit louder because social media is more prominent and you see it more, and the teams can stick together. Maybe it was, is this a chance for Rovers to get even further away from other teams? Now, I know Dundalk are number one. They have been the last couple of years. But is this a chance for Rovers to pull away? But it's people seem to be blaming Rovers, and it's nothing Rovers have done. It's like Shell's put a team in the Leinster Senior League. Rovers just put one in the bottom league in the League of Ireland. So they've played by the rules. There's other clubs there who've in the first division going against it. And to be honest with you, a lot of their records have been crap. Some of them haven't paid players for years and they're shouting about it. Some of them have sacked managers unfairly. Like, there's a lot against us, so they can't be too high and mighty about shouting about Rovers doing something by the book.
And do you think it's a good project for Rovers to get involved with? Do you think it's going to be worthwhile?
It's brilliant because, like everybody knows, I was there last year, the 19s. The gap from 19s to first team is huge. And the other side of it is as well, like 19s league can be a bit, you have the ball and then we'll have it. And then as you go into the first team, it's just about winning. It's not really about getting players better anymore. It's about the next result. Whereas 19s, 17s, it's about a longer term project. So this gives the Rovers B team a chance now to see what it's about winning. They played Cavan Teely, did quite well, held them out to the last minute and lost. So they would have felt what it's like to lose games now, and it would have hurt them because it means proper points now. And it's not just about getting from a 17-year-old to the 19s and 19s to the first. It's about winning now, and it's good to play against top teams like in the league, Bray, Longford as well, really strong teams, Drogheda. So it's a great chance for the players, and it's a shop window for them, for Stephen Bradley can look at them now and bring them up, hopefully. If not, it's a chance for the players to go to other teams as well. So it's really good, I think.
Yeah, no, I have to say I've been really impressed with what I've seen from them so far. They look really well organised, and there's definitely a good character and fighting spirit there. They want to prove themselves, so it'll be interesting to see how they develop. But you're with the 13s at the moment, and that's been another section that's been very controversial, hasn't it? There's been a lot of objection, particularly to the under-13s league, from schoolboy clubs. For someone that's involved in it, do you think that's too young to be starting out a more professional side of things? Should they have left it at 15s, 17s, 19s, maybe brought in a bridge league like a 21? Or for someone that's working with 13-year-old players, do you think that's the right age to start them out?
Listen, it's Rue Doctor and all the boys come up with these decisions. They have more knowledge than me about it. Last year I was looking at it, I thought it was very young, to be honest with you. I was thinking maybe 14s going into 15s then. But it's hard. I'm looking at the quality of player and they're really good. And these experiences will be good for them if they're playing a strong Cork team, strong Galway, strong Waterford, Bowes, Pats will be always strong. So it's really good chance to play against the cream. But it's just the year after then, what happens to them? Do they go 14s? Can they go 15s? Are they strong enough? And a chunk of them won't be physically strong enough or tall enough or like skillful enough to go to the next level. But some of them will. It's the players who you lose. Like if they aren't, they might be the next year. Will you lose them to another team, or will they fall out of football and you might lose them to another sport? And that's the fear with it. So it's a really hard one, to be honest with you. But at the moment, the group we have is really strong. We've only played like 6 pre-season friendlies, and we played a tournament in Finland against Helsinki, and they look really strong team, our Rovers team. They wouldn't look out at their depth if they played up a year as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it works at the end of the season, if the season does get started. But we can only speak for our Rovers team. They look strong, but if it's the right or wrong thing, the 13s league, I'm not sure. That's for powers higher than me. But all I'm interested in is developing the kids, make them better players, and make them better young men. That's my job.
And that's a nice note to leave it on. Pat, been a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks very much, and stay safe.
Fair play to Ciarán. Thanks very much.
And if there's any chance of a free batch of coke coming up this way, we'll be more than happy to take it.
No problem at all. There's always a deal there for you.
Good
no
man.
Problem.
Fair play to you. Pat, thanks very
take
much.
It easy.
Take it easy.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by BarwinRacing.com. Check out our website for weekly League of Ireland previews, enhanced offers and double the odds first goal score matches, among other incentives, with a €30 free bet available to new customers. T's and C's apply. Barwon Racing, nobody does League of Ireland better.
Yeah, great to hear from Padgett, I have to say. It's probably been too long. What did you make of all of that, John?
Cousins is a decent manager, Ciarán. I tell you what, my neck's only just out of a brace after watching all the hoofball at Longford Town that season. He was there last. But apart from that, great interview, Ciarán.
Oh, brilliant stuff. I hope Tony doesn't listen. I'm sure he doesn't. But
he'd be struggling as well, because he's a cabbie as well, isn't he, Ciarán?
I think he is by trade, yeah. So it's probably a tough time for him too. So we'll let him off this week.
Yeah, give him a break, Ciarán.
Let's move on to the first division, and we'll have a brief look back. We've only had, what, 2 or 3 games? For Longford, it's only been 2. So, what have you made of the early exchanges in the second tier?
Well, no doubt about the surprise packages. Played 3, won 3, Cavan Teely, Ciarán.
Yeah, very good shout.
I mean, we thought they'd struggle, didn't we? We said, you know, without their top goal scorer last season, but they seem to be... The last thing they're doing is struggling for goals. Shane Barnes 3, Keith Dalton's chipping in, Labutis is chipping in, and they're all being set up by Marty Waters, the evergreen Ciarán Marty Waters, who just doesn't seem to want to go away, does he?
Yeah,
he just keeps coming back season after season and doing his thing.
I think he's chipped in with one as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, I believe he. I think he has. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a great start, because we were probably afraid at the start of the season that they might over rely on him, but he's very much stepped up to the plate from what it seems, with the amount of assists he's gotten, and they're finding goals throughout the team, which is going to be vitally important given the fact that they did lose their top scorer last season.
Yeah, the other team with 100% record is Longford Town, and they've got off to a decent start. Maybe not as convincing as Cavan Teely with the amount of goals they've scored, but promising start for them. And how do you think the Town have set up this season so far, Ciarán? Happy enough?
Yeah, look, as you said, probably not as convincing in terms of style as what Cavan Teely have done, but I think that win in Drogheda, as you heard from Lee earlier on, was just such a huge statement of intent. And while it's very early doors, I think this is obviously Darragh Doyle's first full season in charge, but we already know what we're going to get from him. It's a good, attractive style of play. They struggled for goals last season. They dominated the ball so much under Neil Fenn at times last season, but they had nobody up there to put it in the net. Aaron Dobbs just didn't do it. He tried... Jamie Doyle was the other one they tried up there. They even tried Sam Verdon up there at times. They never seemed to have that focal point up there, but they've definitely got that now with Rob Manley. Even when he's not scoring goals, his hold up play, I didn't actually notice as much when he was with Cavan Teely, because we were all so focused on the amount of goals he got with Cabo, but his hold up play is absolutely phenomenal. I haven't seen a striker like him in the first division in quite a long time. So
do you know what he reminds me a little bit of? It reminds me a little bit of Georgie Kelly, the way he holds the ball up.
Well, I was actually
he's good at that. So that's who I would see him a little bit similar to.
I was actually going to compare him to Pat Hoban, but either way, it's a good comparison, isn't it?
Yeah,
it bodes well for Longford either.
Drogheda up there as well. Obviously, they lost that match against Longford, but they've 6 points from the first 3 games. They'll be happy enough, and you know, they've still got the likes of Chris Lyons, who's scoring plenty and contributing to their team. Bit surprised down at the bottom, although I will say it's still very, very early, isn't it? Galway only 2 points. They're joined by Wexford and Rovers B team, and Athlone, unfortunately, still haven't got a point.
Yeah, on Galway, I just think they probably didn't get the players they wanted on the pitch initially. The likes of Fatterdy there doesn't seem to have featured much. Maybe he's a bit behind in pre-season because he was late in signing his contract, wasn't he? So I'm not sure what's happened there, whether he had a bit of a setback towards the start of the season or what. But I think if you look at the players they have on the books there at Galway, you'd expect them, when the season eventually does return, to do a lot better than they have early doors. As for Athlone, we're not surprised. I know Coolstrane was a massive signing for them. They've got Meenan there, who's got a couple of penalties this season. But overall, when you look at what they have on paper, you wouldn't expect them to be anywhere else other than down towards the bottom. I think another surprise package has been Wexford. They've done really well, given the fact they have such a young side, haven't they?
Yeah, well, look, they've only got 2 points from the first game, but they've had some tricky ones. And I think there's some promise there. And like you said, they made a lot of very young signings. So young squad down there, I think they'll be encouraged with the start that they've made.
Yeah, I mean, when we've seen Wexford in the last couple of seasons, you know, where they seem to have kicked on now. They seem to have put a real philosophy in place with these young players coming in. They seem to be going that route. Whereas when we went to watch Wexford in the last couple of seasons, we were kind of wondering where they were going as a club. And, you know, they were taking some really bad hammerings. So that doesn't look like it's going to happen this season. Obviously, with young players, I'm sure there will be inconsistency. They might take a couple of hammerings against some of the better sides in the league. But overall, it looks like they're going to be able to compete with the likes of the Athlones, the Coves, maybe even the Rovers too. They're going to be competitive in those sort of games. And they'll pick up points against the bigger sides in the division as they go.
Yeah, and I think definitely at home they'll be tricky enough to beat, because obviously it's never an easy trip down there. So I think they'll surprise a few this season.
You mentioned Lions, we've mentioned Manly, we've been really impressed with them too. We kind of debated it early on in one of the shows who might get the golden boot in the first division this season. From what you've seen so far, who would you give it to?
Well, at the moment I'd still be edging towards Lions. I think he's been there, done it, hasn't he? He's a good forward, and he'd probably be edging it for me. Although, you know, look at maybe somebody you wouldn't have thought of earlier in the season, somebody like Gary Shaw, he's got a couple already. And the evergreen Sean Brennan, although I can't see him getting too many from where he plays. But there's a few that could challenge for it this season.
It looks like it's shaping up to be an exciting first division season, so hopefully we can get back to it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and we're going to bring in another interview now, folks. We're going to hear from someone that was associated with the First Division for many years through Cove Ramblers and through Waterford. It's the former League of Ireland manager, Stephen Henderson. So we all need to lighten up the mood these last couple of days, and I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by our good friend Stephen Henderson. Hendo, welcome back to the show.
And welcome back to you as well, Kit.
Thanks, Hendo. We missed chatting to you. Pat Flynn, I was on to him during the week, getting him on tonight's show, and he said he must be due a hat-trick ball at this stage. I said, Pat, if you're due a hat-trick ball, then I'll have to buy Hendo a gold watch. He's been on this show so many times.
Yeah, and it's always a pleasure, because you've done a great job with the kid. So it's just unfortunate everything is going on at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. How are you affected yourself, Hendo?
Well, like everybody else, the academy up in Shelbourne has been shut down. DDSL is shut down, all the leagues are shut down, and rightly so. So you know, we're doing a lot of stuff in the background, you know, that when we do come back, we can come back stronger. And I think everybody kind of, as much as you're missing the actual activity of football, I think people in the background are looking at ways and how we can improve stuff, and that's what we'll be doing. So when we go back, there'll be lots of changes to the academy, because we've actually had the physical time to sit down and do stuff.
And how are you finding the role? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. But there's a lot of hard work, a lot of background stuff gone into it in terms of the football side of it. I'm only starting to get back into that now, you know. So you know, in terms of getting the actual physical coaching out with the coaches and what have you, there was a lot of background stuff to do, which was tough. But I'm looking forward to getting back into the football side of it and getting back out onto the pitches with the lads. So, yeah, but in terms of the football itself, in terms of the ego, yeah, you'd miss that. You'd miss the competitive nature of that. But this is a different kettle of fish, and it's enjoyable. Learning a lot at the moment.
Yeah, and we had the Shells goalkeeper Jack Brady on a couple of weeks ago, and he very much painted a picture that Shells is a very vibrant place to be at the moment. Would you echo those sentiments?
I certainly would, and it's because of people like Jack, because Jack is absolutely fantastic lad. You know, I think in terms of the people that you bring into the football club, you know, that determines how successful that club is going to be. Jack He's a great personality on top of being a great goalkeeper. Mm. I think Shells have done that, you know, not just with the senior team and the coaching staff there, but filtered all the way through. There's some really good people gone into the club, and, you know, they have a lot of ambition. I think there's talk of a podcast. The podcast has started, and I think there's a video channel going on as well, Wookie, you know. So, like, they're really been progressive. Lots of positive stuff going on in the background. But, you know, a lot will be determined. You know, they had a great start to the season, so... You know, if the season comes back, you know, we don't know it. We don't even think, I don't think the league will be back, to be honest with you, Kieran. But everything that's been done in the background has been brilliant.
Yeah, I'll ask you about your thoughts on what might happen with the league in a moment, but it's interesting you should bring up that point about the podcast, because I seen it last night on their social media, and I quoted on my own page, and I said, this is something I've been talking about for years. The clubs really need to look at other ways of getting revenue in apart from tickets through the gates, particularly with what's happening at the moment. And personally, I think a podcast for each club, official podcasts, and behind the scenes content, fans love that type of stuff. So it's great to see Shell has been really one of the first clubs to go out and kind of push this, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, you know, there's so much hard work involved in running a football club, as you probably, as you know yourself, you know, there's a lot of work goes into it. And well, this is a horrific time for people in general, you know. In the background, there is time to do stuff. And, you know, Andrew Doyle is, you know, he's come in and he's took over the club. And the man has a million ideas, you know, but it's about going through those million ideas and coming out with what's really viable and feasible. And, you know, one of the things that he came up with, himself and Dave O'Connor came up with, was this podcast. And it's it is fantastic because, you know, the podcast, you know, I obviously be travelling to Dublin a lot. I used to listen to your own show when it was regular, you know, and it's great to have these shows, and I think supporters themselves, because there's a lot of travelling involved in League of Ireland football, it's a great outlet for them. It's something that can get you through the day and work. And I think you're right, yeah, the supporters themselves love it, because I think even with the Shells one, to be honest with you, Kieran, there's so much going on within the football club. You know, the supporters probably want to know more what's going on. And I think, you know, I think people will look at this template now from Shells and see how well it goes. And I can see, you know, the likes of the Dundalks and the Rovers and you know, the Longford. I suppose you are the Longford one, really, when you think of it. You know, I think other clubs will come on board with it, because it's a good way of obviously generating finance, but it's also a great way of generating interest within the football club, not just here in Ireland but abroad also.
Now let's talk about the league. I suppose none of us really know what's going to happen, but we've been chatting off air a little bit, and you've said it there, you don't feel that we might see a league again this season.
No, I don't. I think you know, I think we're all trying to be really optimistic in terms of going for the June date, that we'll be back in June and what have you. The reality of the situation, nobody has a clue what's going on here. The news we're getting, it changes every day, how serious this is and how many people have been infected, how many people are dying. It's horrendous news. It's a horrendous news. And football in general is, you know, it's not, you know, it's not unique. It's, you know, we're saying back in June, but I just can't see it happening, because, you know, I think probably the next season before we're back. I hate saying that. I think, you know, it's heartbreaking to say that. But, like, obviously there's so much going on here in this country and around the world at the moment. Football pales into significance in terms of when it comes back. You know, and even, you know, if it went beyond June, July, August, September, even coming back at that, you know, the players are only back a month after being off for 6 months as well. Mm. You know, so to come back then and be expected, like, the quality on the pitch wouldn't be great either. To no fault of the players, you know, because nobody's allowed to train together and all this kind of stuff. You'd be really hopeful that, you know, they know something that we don't, that it will be back. But at the same time, like I said to you earlier, I think this is really a time of a reflection for everybody involved in football, that if we're not going to be able to physically get out on the pitch and do stuff, let's look at the background, let's have a look at League of Ireland and football, the structures, everything in place there at senior level. At underage level, you know, there's a lot of stuff that can be done in the background, that when football does come back in this country, that, you know, she's better. A lot of the stuff that was going on before this pandemic hit us was horrendous in terms of football news and what have you. This is a real opportunity for people to sit back, you know, and work together and come out with a great product. And just small stuff like that, what we're saying about Shells, about podcasts and what have you. A club start coming up. with ideas of promoting their clubs. Let's actively get back involved with communities, you know, where we have time, see what we can do to engage more and help more, you know. And when football comes back, you know, let it come back to it in a better place than it was when we left.
Yeah, I suppose you're the right man to ask about this. Before all of this started, there was a lot of talk about the All-Ireland League. You ended your career up the north. What's your feelings on the All-Ireland League? I don't think we've had you on during this kind of this talking point in the season.
No, I was all for it. I was there when I listened to the Lucid idea, and I think what was most impressive about the Lucid idea was the amount of work that went into it. It wasn't just a presentation. It wasn't just an empty PowerPoint presentation. There was actually physical work went into this. There was a lot of conversations. There was a lot of communication with different entities, from different levels, between sponsors, clubs, managers, governments, local councils. So it was loads and loads of work went into this. And, I played up the north, as you said, and there's a lot of quality teams up in Northern Ireland. You know, that wouldn't put much mass on the likes of cups like we went through with the Setanta Cup and the Union, like the Unit. You know, there's an actual league programme there. You know, the best of the south against the best of the north. It would be a really competitive league, and it would have the potential to generate big crowds. It would have the potential to get proper TV revenue for clubs finally in this country, that we can reinvest back into football here. So I thought it was a great idea. And again, like I'm saying to you, you know, through these unfortunate circumstances, can something like that be really worked on in the background? You know, and when football does come back, can we come back to something new?
Let's go back to your playing career, because it's not something we've discussed with you before. We've always had you on when you were the manager of Cove, of course, and plenty of chats about what was happening at Cove at the time. But I was just looking through your list today, and I didn't actually realise you played for Dundalk. And the missus here, it wants to ask about Dundalk. So how did you find your experience? Very different club back then to what it is now, I'm sure.
Well, she was as successful when I was there, because I was in there with Turlough O'Connor was the manager. And Dundalk would have been a very successful team under Turlough. I was the reserve goalkeeper, basically, under Alan O'Neill. Alan, along with my brother Dave and actually his brother Dave, they would have been the top goalkeepers in the country at the time. I would have played with their... Back then, there was reserve teams. And Turlough, I think Turlough was about 110 at the time, but he was still getting out playing, and he was probably still the best player on the pitch for our reserve team. But the whole setup down in Oriel, like the Martin Lawlers, the Joey Malones that were still there, do you know what I mean? There was some really quality, Harry McHugh, quality players, quality characters. It was a great learning experience for me to be a young lad. I think I was only about 19 or 20 when I was there. But I really learned a lot from some really top lads, players, and obviously with Turlough O'Connor. Turlough was probably regarded and still regarded as one of the best managers ever in the League of Ireland football. But he was a gentleman and a lovely man to grow up and learn your football from. So I had a brilliant time there.
Yeah, you had quite a few clubs, didn't you? Would you be regarded as a bit of a journeyman, do you think?
I'd probably call more than that. To be honest with you, when I was younger, I was over with... I went over to Arsenal when I was about 12 or 14. I went to United at 14 and Leeds United then at 15. And you know, all the clubs kind of sent me back the letter. They kept me there for longer than I was supposed to be there, but I kept getting the letters back through the letterbox, so I was too small. Because I actually, believe it or not, did play very well over there. But, I was walking... I met John Lukic one day. I walked into his chest, and I kind of understood then that, you have to be quite tall to be a goalkeeper over in this country. So when that kind of dream ended for me, I kind of just said, I'm just going to go and enjoy my football. And I literally didn't care who I played for or where I played. I just wanted to play every week at a high level. So from Dundalk, I went to Limerick. And then from Limerick, I just kind of went up the north. And yeah, I just played whoever wanted me, I signed for, basically. And that was probably why I played.
You were happy out.
So many clubs.
Yeah. So what was the career highlight as a player?
The what?
The career highlight as a player.
No, I didn't have any career highlights, to be honest with you, when I was playing, I never played for any of the top teams. I nearly did. I nearly signed for Patson, Brian Kerr. I nearly signed for Glentoran under Roy Coyle and this kind of stuff. I was always the nearly man in that way. But I got a couple of player of the year awards in different clubs, the League of Ireland clubs. But I never won anything of substance. And to be honest with you, that's probably my club. I just went out to enjoy my football, basically, and enjoy myself. And I just love playing football, to be honest with you, Kieran. That's what I always try to get any players that, when I became a man, I just wanted them to enjoy their football and try and be successful, to be the best that they could be. And I always felt you'll always be the best you can be when you're enjoying it. Mm. So, you know, I just went through a career of enjoying my football without winning it.
Yeah, and if I was to ask you your career highlight as a manager, I'm sure it'd be winning the division with Cove, or are you going to surprise me?
No, I wouldn't surprise, no, because, you know, they never won anything before, so in terms of League of Ireland football. So, like, you know, any time you win something for the first time for the club, so it would be a highlight, you know. You know, the beating Dundalk, I hope your missus is listening to this one.
Yeah, she's listening, yeah.
You know. But beating Dundalk in the semi-final, I think that was huge, purely on the basis of the quality of this Dundalk team, you know, over the last few years. So for a team like Dundalk to come down to Little Cove in the semi-final of a national competition for us to get one over with them, that was huge. It was huge for the club. And, you know, on that day, I seen so many people back in the Ramblers ground that I hadn't seen for years. So between the emotion of beating them and just seeing so many people, and, you know, because Ramblers was nearly done when we went in there, and that played a huge part in, you know, sustaining the club, and then to bring that kind of success, get to a national cup final for the club, was magnificent. But winning that fourth division, you know, that was huge for the club, and that would be a highlight indeed, yeah.
Were you disappointed at the time that the decision was taken to play that final in the Brandywell?
Well, look, it was a draw out of a cup, nonsense, to be honest with you. You know, I was disappointed because I know for a fact that Commons Park would have been sold out. I know for a fact we would have had 4,500 to 5,000 people. Not a huge crowd by any stretch of the imagination, but when you have 4,000 or 5,000 people in Commons Park, it feels like there's 20,000 there. The atmosphere that little ground generates is absolutely magnificent. What it would have done for the town, you know, just in terms of like the economy of the town, just people coming from all over the place, you know, and, you know, it really would have put us back on the map. Although getting to the final did put us back on the map. You know, I just felt all the hard work that the volunteers and the people put into that football club, it would have been a fantastic reward, you know, to have a national, their first ever national cup final, and to have it in Cove would have been a magnificent reward and recognition to all these people who do unseen work behind the scenes there. So it was good, but at the same time, it's a final, isn't it? It's a national cup final. And the Brandywell, in its current state, is no bad place to be playing a final. And the stadium itself is immaculate. The new stadium and dressing rooms were fantastic. The day itself was a great day for us. You know, unfortunately, you know, a couple of mistakes on the day done us. Was the same in the other cup final. I was in another EA Sports Cup final with Waterford. A couple of mistakes done us on the day, and that's what happens when you have young players playing in these things. Just a little bit of nerves. And we got punished on the day, which is unfortunate. But it was, you know, the whole process of getting there was fantastic. But just as a reward and recognition to the people of Cove, it would have been lovely to have a national final there.
Just on Waterford, was that another maybe nearly story for you as well? You mentioned you lost a League Cup final. I think you lost an FAI Cup semi-final as well. And very close to promotion a couple of times. So how would you reflect on your time with the Blues?
Yeah, I just, you know, like I've been the nearly man, really. Do you know what I mean? If I'm honest with you, like, you know, I think I've got the two playoffs. I finished runners up twice, got the two playoffs, lost two playoffs, actually finished runners up three times. You know, got the two EA Sports Cup finals, lost both of them, and you know, I got to an FAI Cup semi final and I lost it. So I've been very nearly all the way. Do you know what I mean? So you know, but it was, again, Waterford was in a difficult situation. There was you know, again, money issues, which will be not just unique to Waterford, you know. So we were a fourth division team who, you know, that year we got to an EA Sports Cup final. We got to the FAI Cup semi-final. I've won three Munster Cups, you know. So the regional cups, you know, so there's three little winners' medals there, but they're regional, not national. Mm. So kind of three regional cups, two runners up in the EA Sports semi-final and a fourth division winners medal, but that sits alongside two runners up medals. So, you know, if you look at it, there's, you know, just, you know, I think with the clubs that I was with, we've done really well. You know, myself and the players have done really well to, you know, to be competitive, you know, for the money that the budgets for the clubs, you know, these players are a credit to those clubs, both Waterford and Cove, you know, to, because I always felt, always try and do your best to give supporters a day out in some capacity. So, you know, I think, so we brought them to 4 months our finals. So we brought supporters to two EA Cup finals, brought them to a semi-final, you know, and we brought them to a couple of playoffs, which is great occasions for them as well. So, you know, I think over the 8-9 years I was managing, you know, I think on average we done quite well. Give the supporters of each club, you know, good days out, and players will have medals in their pockets. Some are winners, some are runners-up.
Yeah.
But they're medals, and that's important thing.
Yeah, there's plenty of players and managers out there, great players and managers that never pick up a medal in their career. So, yeah, you know, so you can't be too harsh on yourself.
Genuine.
Look, final question, Stephen. You've looked back there on some of the highlights of your management career. Will we see Stephen Henderson again in a League of Ireland management dugout, do we think?
Well, I hope so, because again, like I've kind of looked back and I've kind of reflected on a lot of stuff that, you know, the first 2-3 years with Ramblers, I was very positive in what I was trying to do. And when I kind of sit back and reflect, I took my foot off the pedal. I kind of let things affect me. But again, I've kind of used this stuff to sit down and reflect. So I've kind of redone my own kind of philosophy in terms of how I want to my teams to play, how we want to train and all this kind of stuff. That's what, you know, unfortunately, the circumstance, that's given me the time to sit and do that. So, yeah, I have that ready, and it is ready to go. So if, you know, there is positions out there, and, you know, I would very much like to get back into it, because I do, I feel that drive is back in me, I feel that hunger is back in me to get back out, you know, and really push teams to their limit, get the best out of players that we possibly can, that we have been doing for the last 8-9 years, you know, and really drive on and try and get, you know, stop in the nearly, man. I want to get out and start winning stuff, do you know what I mean? I want to get to these finals and start winning stuff, you know. Can we, I'm managing that Premier League and be competitive in that Premier League. So, like, I've a lot to still I want to do. If the opportunity arises, well, then certainly it's something that I want to do. But, you know, we've done a lot of work with Shell's Academy here. There's still a bit to do. But I won't be thinking of anything until I have this ready for Shell's, and then when that's ready and ready to go and somebody needs a manager, I'll be there.
Yeah, and we'd certainly love to see it. Stephen, been an absolute pleasure. Stay safe, and thanks very much for speaking to us.
And stay safe to you and all the family as well, Ciarán. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Stephen.
For all your industrial equipment, compressed air, vacuum, automation, mechanical and engineering needs, check out flowmax.ie, proud sponsors of Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Yeah, another cracking interview there, John. Great to hear from Hendo and hear that he's keeping well. We haven't got an awful lot more to talk about. I know one of the other podcasts is doing a team of the, I think it's a team of the decade or something along those lines, but we are not going research and we haven't time for that, have we, John? So we're just going to do a team of the season so far.
I haven't got time for that. You've got plenty of time eating your cake, Ciarán, but yeah. I certainly don't. No. But yeah, team of the season. Come on.
Yeah,
man.
So
let's see. We'll have a bit of a chat about this, bit of debate, and I'd like to hear from the listeners as well who they think, even though it's early days, who their team of the seasons are, because I'm sure we're going to have a few arguments here, Ciarán.
Yeah, no rules here. Pick as many players as you want from one club, First Division or Premier, and you can combine them into a team. So,
I'm expecting 11 Dundalk players from you, Ciarán. Is that right, with your usual bias? How many have you got?
There's a couple. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Nice. There's 5. There's 5 in there. I think that's quite fair.
All right, fair enough. Right, go on. Let's make a start then. Who are we going in goals?
Right, we've gone the old-fashioned 4-4-2 route here. So I've gone Gary Rogers for me, most consistent goalkeeper in the league. He's been there, he's done that, he's got the medals. And I think his kicking's improved a lot. He gets a lot of stick for his kicking, but I think it's improved. So I'm going Rogers.
Yeah, and you're wrong again, as normal. Because to me, the signing and the fella that's had the most impact, Brian Murphy, hands down for Waterford.
Yeah, no, good show. I probably should have gone for something alternative myself, but as I said, Rogers consistent, serial winner, so I go that way. And yeah, Murphy, definitely a good show.
Yeah, perfect. Right, we'll go for a flat back four here, and no fancy wing backs or anything like that. Standard back four. So what about your two centre backs, Kieran?
Two centre backs. I got this hard to nail down.
It's not easy, is it?
No.
I know you look at your Dundalk centre-backs, and to me, they haven't been that great so far. What have you gone for?
No, when you think about the Dundalk back fours of recent years, I don't think they've started as strongly this year, but I have got one. I have got one Dundalk centre-half in there. That's Andy Boyle, because there was a lot of doubt over whether Boyle was going to reach the same sort of level that he had when he was last in the league, because he started really, really slowly when he returned last year. And there was a lot of doubts about him, but I think he's settled quite well. He's even got a goal for himself this season from a set piece. So I think Boyle's done well. He's in there for me because I still think he's got the potential to develop back into the sort of player we've seen before. And I've paired him up with Lopez because he's been quite standout so far this season for Rovers.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with Lopez. Not 100% convinced about Boyle so far this season. I think you mentioned it, Dundalk back four doesn't look as strong as it has in the past. So for me, that's why I'm going to go with Lee Grace.
Lee Grace, yeah, no, that's a fair judgment. What about your fullbacks?
Yeah. Well, these are tricky because, right back, I think he can't look past Gannon because I think he is the best fullback in the league. But left back's a bit of a tricky one. I'm not so sure about this one. I'm going to let you go for left back because I'm really struggling with left back.
Yeah, I know our listeners are thinking I'm going to say Massey here, but I'm not actually. Because as I said, I don't think that Dundalk back four has been as strong at the start of this season. And Massey, he's been so consistent. Probably one of the best left backs the league has ever seen, but just he has a challenge on his hands this year with Leahy, so it's going to be interesting to see how that develops. I think there's a lot of high hopes for Leahy from Dundalk fans, but I've gone for one. As I said, there's been no real standout left back so far for me, so I've gone for one just solely based on potential here. I know he probably hasn't played an awful lot for Bowes yet, but I think they've got an absolute cracking player on their hands in Anto Breslin, so I've thrown him in there solely on potential.
Yeah, and well, I can't disagree with that. We know how good he is, and if he could score a couple more of them free kicks that he takes, he'd definitely be one of the first names on the team sheet. But good call with that one, Anto Breslin, left back. Right, we'll move to centre midfields. This looks a bit of an open and shut case to me, Kieran, and I'd be very surprised if you come up with anything different to what I'm going to come up with. Jack Byrne and Chris Shields.
Yeah, if you're playing a 4-4-2, you need a creative midfielder and you need a destroyer. Shields is the destroyer, Byrne's the creator. That's a winning midfield for me.
Yeah. Now, the two wingers, I've gone for Graham Burke. I know he probably plays a little bit forward in that, but I've gone for Graham Burke. And on the other side, Michael Duffy. But I've got a funny feeling you might go for somebody different.
Yeah, I've gone for Burke as well. As you said, if I was arranging this team in a more professional manner, I'd probably like him in a number 10 role there somewhere. But he'll do fine out on the wing. He'll get plenty of goals from there. I know what you're saying about Duffy, but Duffy was at the stage a couple of seasons ago where you were really expecting him to kick on and become another Daryl Horgan as such. He looked like he was ready just to take that next step. I'm not sure if he's done that yet. So I think a player that's been, again, one probably more on potential than anything else is Twardek. I think he's really caught the eye early doors with Bowes, and he looks a player that could really go on to do great things in the league and maybe elsewhere. So I've gone Twardek.
Yeah, well, I won't argue with you because I do like him. I like his vision. I think he's great on the ball. He can definitely pick a pass and he can cross the ball as well. So yeah, I can see why you've gone for Twardek, and obviously he was on our show as well. So that makes him twice the baller, doesn't it?
100%. Only the best come on this show. But he just looks a proper old fashioned winger, doesn't he? Big and tall and pacey, and takes a man on, gets crosses into the box, chips in every now and again. Looks a proper old fashioned winger.
Yeah, it got a real good signing for Bowes there, and a big loss for Sligo. And look, we'll have a look at the strikers. I'm dropping down to the first division for this. I'm going to pick Chris Lyons to partner Pat Hoban up front.
And I've gone exactly the same way. I think Hoban has started this season phenomenally well for Dundalk. He's got a brilliant amount of goals early doors. again, he's another player. I think I said it a few weeks on the show that around Dundalk there was a lot of question marks over Hoban, which I found unbelievably strange. I think Hoban, without a doubt, is the best striker in the league, but Lyons just really looks the full package, doesn't he? He scores plenty of goals, but he almost plays as a 10 in that team at times. He comes deep and he gets the wingers involved, and he just looks a really clever player. And I'm shocked that he isn't a Premier Division player yet, but I'm sure in the next season or two, that's not far away.
No, I don't think so. If his drugs don't get promoted this season, I think you'll find him stepping up a division. Wouldn't surprise me. And Pat Hooman, look, 5 goals. He does what he says on the tin. He gets the goals, doesn't he?
Yeah, 100%. Look, I'm sure the listeners are going to tweet us and Facebook us and tell us we're totally wrong and that I picked team.
You can make a bit of, you know, we're talking Twardek Duffy, there's Mandrew, there's Dylan Watts, Ronan Finn, you know, and in the, obviously, it's just a shame there's not been more First Division matches, so we can't get a few more First Division players into that side. But yeah, like you say, love to know what our listeners think of this one.
Look, John, I think that's, in terms of podcasts, I think that's probably it for a while.
Yeah, possibly. I know work's very, very busy for me at the moment. And, you know, we without any matches, without any live matches, we'd be really struggling for content, I would say. And obviously, we're not big budget, and we can't go and research all these kind of things with the time that we have. So it's a shame because we were just getting back up and running again.
Yeah, we were absolutely flying without blowing our own trumpet or anything. But first 4 shows of the season all had over 1,000 listeners each. The show last week, we got a lot of compliments. The interview with Jack Brady was really popular with listeners, but we did take a hit in the figures there because obviously the games we were talking about were eventually called off, so a lot of people weren't driving around the country, and that's when most people do tune into the show. So look,
but what I would say is if our listeners have any great ideas of anything we could cover or do,
yeah,
you know, just give us a shout, tweet us, Facebook us, whatever. And you know, we really enjoy putting the show together, and if there's anything you want to hear that you think that we could do, some kind of special or something, then you know, give us a shout and we'll give it a go, Kieran.
Yeah, 100%. I echo that. Look, I'll probably try and get a couple of interviews, maybe with a couple of League of Ireland legends, and throw them up there as podcast extras whenever we can. But I just want to thank everyone that has supported us so far since we returned, everyone that's tuned in, everyone that sent us really nice messages. And I hope this show is going to be a big success tonight, because as I said, it's probably going to be the last one for a little while. And when we do return, we'd love to have you all back again, equally supporting us as much as you have so far. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, so from me, thanks again for listening, everybody. And look, it's important that you do stay safe in the current time, so make sure you follow the guidelines, and don't go to your pharmacy if you're showing symptoms, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially the one in Drumleesh. We need Mr. Breyer.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, John, stay safe, keep up the good work, and look, hopefully we'll be chatting again soon.
Yeah, good man, Kieran. All right, talk soon.
Thanks, everyone.